So what I was saying is the devil is in the business of making other gods, many other several gods, so that he can confuse and isolate mankind about the knowledge of true God. But you will say, oh, we Christians know that there is only one God. The devil is also certainly in the business of making Christians confused indirectly and very subtly by revealing and by manifesting other gods to Christians. One of the theory that we have in the church is, you know what, you are a little god. And I am going to expose that theory tonight. Have you heard that theory? You are a little god. You are a god man. You are a god woman. You are not a human being. You are a spirit being. I am a human being. I am not a spirit being. If I was a spirit being, I did not need salvation. Because I am a human being, I need salvation. You are, and you will see most of the American preachers who have mega churches, who have big crusades, hold on to that doctrine. You might have heard doctrines like God produces after his kind. So when he produced you, he produced another God. That is the devil's doctrine, beloved, because the devil, even in Christianity, he wants to make gods after gods after gods. But the Bible says so clearly, I am the Lord and there is no other, there is no God besides me. He is the only God, high and lifted. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So the first thing I want to tell you is the devil is in the business of making many gods to isolate or to confuse humankind about the knowledge of the only one and true God. How does he do that? Instead of worshiping the Creator, the devil wants human beings to bring worship to the Creator. So the creation, the devil wants the human being to bring worship to the creation instead of worshiping the Creator. Okay, so do you see that the ability to bring worship is not with any other being, but only with human beings? Only human beings can worship. Your dog cannot worship. Your cat cannot worship. The chicken in your farm cannot worship. Only a human being can bring worship. Do you understand that? A tree cannot worship. It can receive worship, but it cannot be worshiped. Only human beings have been given the ability to bring worship. Because God, when he created the earth, he created the earth on the basis of a central relationship. And that central relationship was between him and a man, on the basis of which he created, okay, I am creating the earth. I am creating creeping creatures, crawling creatures. I am creating creatures in the sea, creatures, animals that will be on the earth, on the face of the earth. I am creating birds. I am creating trees and the sun and the moon. But I am creating a man with whom I will have a relationship. And on the basis of that relationship, I am going to take care of the things I created. So the central relationship was between God and man. And God created man to worship himself. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay. It says about praise. It says, you know, the trees can praise, the birds can praise and all those things. But worship is been to a man. A man can only bring worship. So if the devil wants to confuse someone, he will not confuse the dogs and the cats. It is what he will confuse is the man, because the man, the humankind is the one who is supposed to bring worship unto the Lord. Okay, so instead of worshiping the Creator, the devil wants humans to bring worship to the creation. The next point is the Bible refers the term God in small letters, the term God, and addresses this term to other gods, which are sometimes human beings in the Bible, animals, trees, demonic deities, sun, moon, and stars, idols, and creeping creatures. So, when you read your Bible, when you read the scripture, the Bible will many times worship that the God of the god Chemosh of this Ammonites, this god of the of the Philistines, god of the Assyrians. You know, there are gods mentioned in the Bible. Okay, there are God mentioned in the Bible, and then there is also God, which is a calf, a golden calf, is termed as God. So these things are mentioned as God, but they are not gods which are deemed by the devil, or which are made with human hands, or which is considered by human beings. But the God that we believe in is God by himself. And no one is able to define and give a definition that he is God. He is God by himself. And there is no one who created him. He existed from eternity. No one formed him. No one knows from where he came. He is the Ancient of Days. No one can even match his wisdom. That is the God we believe in. We don't believe in a God that came into existence afterwards. We believe in a God who existed from eternity. Are we understanding that? But the term God is used in the Bible many times, small letter gods, to address animals, demonic deities, sun, moon, stars, because those are the God that the devil made them God. The devil instigated humankind to make them God. How it all started? It all started in Genesis chapter number 3. Okay, let's go now to the scriptures. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1 onwards. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Hallelujah. The way a human being can bring worship to God is by obedience. Do you understand that? The way a human being, I can bring worship to God, is by obeying his word. So as long as Adam and Eve were obedient, what was the word? There was a simple instruction given to Adam and Eve, that the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. So God wanted obedience from Adam and Eve towards his word, and that was worship. You would say, what are you saying, Brother Raoul? Worship is songs, worship is music, worship is lifting up of hands. No, worship is obedience. Brother Raoul, where is it in the scripture? It's in the scripture. We have to look at the first time the worship word was used in the Bible, was in context to obedience. Let me show you that. The first time the word worship was used in the Bible was in context to obedience. Look at Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Verse number 3. It says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back.'" That is the word for the first time used in the Bible, the word worship. And what was Abraham going to do? He was going to obey the instruction of the Lord by going on the mountain. He was going to obey the instruction of the Lord. So he said, "I'm going to go on the top of the mountain to obey the command." He said, he used the term, "I am going to do worship there." So worship is obedience to the Lord. Everyone say that. Worship is obedience to the Lord. Everyone remove your mute and say that. worship, obedience to the law. When a man stops obeying the Lord, the man stops worshiping the Lord. When a man stops obeying the Lord, the man stops worshiping the Lord. And that is the heart's desire. That is the ambition of the devil. You know how we have an ambition. Oh, you know what? I want to have a big house. That is my dream house. That is the dream of the devil. He wants to see you to stop worshiping the Lord, stop obeying the Lord. He wants to see you doing that. That is the dream of the devil. That is what he is working for day and night. So that is what he came to Eve for. He said, has God really said that you will not surely die? Verse number 4, we are on verse number 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now, verse number 5 is very important. If you have a marker or whatever, a pen, I want you to mark that word, verse number 5, and meditate on it afterwards. And just listen to what I'm saying and then meditate on it afterwards about the verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, there are three things which will happen to you. The serpent is saying this. This is the doctrine of the serpent, of making other gods other than the only God. This is the doctrine of the serpent now, okay? When you eat of it, three things will happen to you. First, what? Your eyes will be opened. Second, you will be like God. Third, know good and evil. These are the three things by which he makes other gods. First is your eyes will be opened. Second is you will be a god. You will be like God. And third is you will have the discernment by yourself of what is good and what is evil. Now, to your surprise, all the religions and all the occultic groups that exist on the face of the earth that brings worship to man, that brings worship to idols and animals and trees and to Satan, exist on this doctrine. First of all, let us come to your eyes will be open. That is Hinduism and Kundalini. Your eyes will be open is Hinduism and Kundalini. If people are here not aware of Kundalini, Kundalini is a practice that is done in Hinduism. And that is the practice where they will tell you that is yoga. There is nothing called as Christian yoga. Don't go in a church where they will do, okay, before the sermon, let's do a yoga. It's a Christian yoga. That is Kundalini. What yoga leads you to do, or what Kundalini will tell you, is there is a serpent that is there coiled in your spinal cord. And at the end of the spinal cord, when you do those meditation, you will reach the power of the end of the spinal cord where your third eye will open up. And when the eye will open up, they will teach you that the power within you will start to overflow. There are prophets who are teaching that in the United States. There is a prophet from the United States who teaches that. He teaches the third eye power. He teaches how to meditate. He is a Christian prophet, so-called prophet. He is a so-called servant of God. He teaches that. That is the eyes open. That means there is a power within you that you got to activate. Have you heard those doctrines? There is a power within you that you have to activate. There is an eye within you. That is an intuition. There is a realm. There is a power within you. In other words, in simple words, the third eye. You will see that on many Hindu deities and many Hindu gods about the third eye. When the third eye opens and things will start to happen. And that is what Kundalini practices are. Okay? Those who don't know about what I am saying, those who have never heard in their life what is Kundalini, you can go and refer and little bit, don't look more, little bit for information, little bit you can see what is Kundalini. It is the same manifestation that happens in so-called church. that people crawl like snake, people roll on the ground. So you have to be very careful about what you call the Holy Spirit, because the same things happen in the church. It happened. Your eyes will open, he said. That means the power within you will be activated and you will be able to see. You will have a vision. That is where, you know, I literally in my ministration, I have encountered Christians who 24/7 are seeing visions. I called a girl. Someone insisted me to pray for a girl from Europe, from Germany. She was a young girl. I said, pray. And that girl, 24/7, would see angels, this, black things, white things, this and that. 24/7, she. And when I prayed about her, God told me that she is into a realm of the third eye. Those are not real things. Those are imaginary things. You know, the television wants to put children into that realm of the third eye by showing them mermaids, by showing them sorcerers in the cartoons. That is an imaginary world. When the third eye opens, their eyes are not open to the realm of God. Their eyes are open to a demonic realm, to a realm of deception, to a realm of an imaginary world. Your eye will open. That is where Kundalini and Hinduism come from. Okay? Then, the next thing. Is what he said is, you will be a god. That is the New Age doctrine. That is a so-called Christian doctrine, where many preachers that you see on the Christian television speaking, they have preached and they believe and they continue to preach that doctrine. Many so-called preachers, that you are a little god. We will come to that. That is what I want to expose. You are not a god, beloved. Neither I am a god. No one can take the place of God. But there are scriptures there that they can use, where Jesus said, you are gods and all those stuff. So we will go to that. So that is the second deceptive doctrine. He said, you will be God. That is where New Age doctrine comes from. That is where the atheists have arose. They say, there is no God. Then who is God? I am the God of my life. My life depends on the decisions that I take. Have you heard people like that? I heard a pastor from my own city, and he was teaching his church. He posted his some clips online, sermons online. He was teaching his church, and he rebuked his church. He told, you know what, people? You are saying, Lord, I depend on you. Lord, I depend on you. Oh, Lord, I look to you. Stop saying those things in prayer. Because the breakthrough that you need is already inside of you. You just need to see the solution that is inside of you. Now, that is a very subtle doctrine where there is something that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. But that does not means that you stop depending on God and praying to God. So this pastor was saying, you know what? You have to stop saying, I depend on God, and search for something that is inside of you. Everything that you do, everything that you decide, your life depends on the same. Well, my life does not depend on what I decide and the decisions I make. My life depends on the word of God, on the instruction of God, and whether I align myself to the word of God, and whether I deny myself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. My life does not depend on the decisions I make. Pastors have turned into inspirational speakers, and they are speaking the doctrine of serpent, telling you that you are a god and your life will depend on the decisions you make. No. Beloved, your life depends on how much you depend on his word. That is how your life will be, how much you depend on him. My decisions are crap. My decisions are garbage. It's nonsense. If I want to make a decision, I have to come to the Lord. I don't know. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, I am not offending anyone, because I know many people have heard these doctrines and believe these doctrines. You are the one who has the decision-making power. Those are inspirational speaking. Those are inspirational teachings. That is not from the word of God. Devil said, you will be God. That is where the New Age doctrine comes from. That is where the atheist beliefs come from. The Scientology come from. No supernatural power. It is science. It is man's power. Man has, and the more man discovers science and technology, the more man will grow. You see what the devil spoke to Eve. I am telling you, all the religions and the beliefs that gave birth to other gods comes in that one sentence of the devil. And tonight we are exposing that doctrine. You will be God. So first, what I said, your eyes will open up. That is the spirituality aspect, Kundalini, Hinduism. The second, you will be God. New Age. New Age is something where it is mixing itself with Christianity. New Age is something where New Age says all gods are one. And you have a God in your own self. You are a God yourself. Okay? That New Age doctrine has crept into many churches. Many pastors I traveled with, they did not support it or preach that only Jesus is God. They said, okay, they are doing that's fine. That's okay. And all those stuff. So all gods are one and you are a God yourself. You are a God yourself. So everything is God. Everyone is God. That is where it came from. It came from the serpent. He said, you will be like God. You will be like God. You will be like God. That is what he said. That is where Nimrod emerged from. It says Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. I have tried to learn the Hebrew language, and there was a Hebrew teacher that came, a very wonderful pastor who was teaching me. And I hosted that Hebrew seminar. I hosted it. I brought the pastor and I said, okay, so he started to come, 3 hours journey, he started to come. And then the students were brought. I said, who wants to learn Hebrew? In the beginning, the first time, 10 to 20 people turned up. But even as the pastor started to coming, the number reduced. And at last 4 or 5 people, then the pastor was also embarrassed. I said, pastor, the pastor said, you know, I will not come for such a few people. I said, okay, no problem, pastor. He used to come from a far distance. But I had started to learn Hebrew. And when you will read the Hebrew analysis of the text, which says Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, the arrangement of the Hebrew text is, this is God and this is Nimrod in opposition to the Lord, before the face of the Lord. That is what the Hebrew text means. So that means God is one God and Nimrod considered himself as another God in opposition to the superpower of God himself. That is where Nimrod came from the doctrine of the serpent, that you shall be a God. You can compete with God. You can be another superpower in opposition to the Lord. That's why he built the Tower of Babel, because he wanted to show the people that if God sends the flood again, my tower will save you. So I will be your God. You can. That's why he was making a tower whose height was supposed to reach to the top of heaven, so that when the flood comes, the people will be at the top, because the flood will not wash away the throne, so the people will be saved. So he was making a tower to reach to the top of heaven. That is Babylon. That is Babylon. Mm-hmm. And many Christian churches have become a part of Babylon, where subtly they declare themselves as Christians, but they are fighting against God by making themselves a God. We will come to that in detail when I move ahead, because a lot of father, papa doctrine have emerged in the church, where you have to bow down when you come before the man of God. That is demonic. That is the man worship, that is making man a God. We will come to that. Because when a man gets power, he did not started with the devil, but the man started with God. And because he got a lot of power and manifestation of revelation, that attracts human worship automatically. We will see that in the scripture. Humans tend to worship anything. There is a tendency in you to worship anything that is very powerful, that you haven't seen any time. You tend to worship that thing. And if you are not careful, you will tend to worship a man of God. And if the man of God is a real man of God, he will say, don't worship me. Worship Jesus. Never bow down to me. Never kneel before me. We will see that in the scripture. That's why God hesitates to give too much power to a man. He tests a man before he gives a man power, authority. Because if the man is not trained enough, equipped enough, and he gets the power and authority, he can make people worship him. And he can become another God. More confusion. The serpent said, your eyes will be opened and you will be a God. Hallelujah. People of God, if you are there, you'll say amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, your eyes will open, you will become a God. Let's look at the third one. He said, knowing good and evil. The rest of the religions are based on knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? It means that what I decide to be good is good. What I decide to be evil is evil. Muslims, Hindus, they believe if we do charity, we will go to heaven. What is that? Is that recognition of what is good? It's not God's recognition or doctrine of what is good. So you can decide what is good and evil. You can decide and make a God for yourself. That is where the devil instigated a man to make a calf or a cow his God. I saw a news that came up, an article that came up, and there was this family in India. I think they live in this Western, I think in the United States. And what happened to them is, you know, the fridge, the refrigerator's freezer. So when they opened the freezer, they saw that there was the ice that was freezed in the form of an elephant. So they said, oh, the elephant God himself has revealed and manifested in our freezer. So they considered that God came in their freezer because that there was an elephant. You know, the eyes formed in the shape of an elephant. So they said the elephant God has himself thought it worthy to come inside a freezer. So they, however, preserved that shape and they started to worship that ice cube, which looks like an elephant, because they said it is God, the elephant God, who came inside a freezer. And this is right. You know, stop saying amen to the Facebook or the Instagram where they say, oh, we saw Jesus in the sky. The cloud came in the face of Jesus. It made a shape. Oh, we saw an angel. Oh, we saw the cross. You see, we see the sky. So something formed in its shape and they said, this is God. The Bible says, do not make a graven image of me because I am spirit. Hallelujah. Don't give me any form because you don't know me and you haven't seen me. So do you see the tendency of man? I am telling you, I see the Facebook post where they saw type amen if you believe in Jesus. Jesus was seen in the sky. And there are millions of Christians commenting, amen, praise the Lord. What are you doing? That is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. Okay, be careful. Be careful of such kind of manifestation. Because if you, in your life, beloved, you never worshipped any idol and you stayed faithful to God, the devil will try to bring subtle deceptions to take your worship. You, apart from Jehovah, apart from Jesus, you worship any other object, human being, form, appearance, whatever you worship, your worship is going to Satan. If you worship those things and say that those things are God, are we understanding? You shall know good and evil. That means you can give your own interpretation to what is God. But the God of the Bible that I teach is a God that no one can define. I cannot define him. He is God by himself. He is I am who I am. I dare to define him. You are God by yourself. How can I define you, God? You are infinite. You are an eternal God. You are the Ancient of Days. So, but But Satan is saying, you know what, Eve? You can decide a God for yourself. You can make a God for yourself. Hallelujah. A land where no tree was growing, but a huge tree that grew. And people said, this tree is a God. Because this tree, and they went and worshiped that tree. So that is knowing, you shall know good and evil. So they decided for themselves, this is God. In Hinduism, in Muslims, they believe that, oh, if we kill people and ourselves, we kill ourselves in Muslims, we will go to heaven. That is their own doctrine. They decided how to go to heaven. It's not God. In Hinduism, they say, oh, if we give to the poor, so we will, you will see these people, religious people. It's a good work. I'm not criticizing them, but their understanding of what is God, who is God, has been corrupted by the doctrine of the serpent, who gave them the discernment to decide what is good and evil. You will see them feeding cows, feeding monkeys, because they think, oh, you know what? I killed a person and took his property. So in order to negate that sin, let me go and dip myself in the water. My sins will be washed away, and let me go and feed the cows so that the sins can be negated and I will still go to heaven. That is what they believe. That is, what is that? They have decided by themselves of what is good and evil. But the Bible says there is only one God, and that is his son Jesus, who is sent to die for our sins. And whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. There is no other way. There is the only way, the truth and the life. That is Jesus himself. And how much ever I feed the cows, feed the monkeys, give to the poor, do charity work, but if I don't believe in Jesus and worship him and him alone, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven. That is the doctrine. Hallelujah. This is the time where I'm taking the church to the basics, because the church has been manipulated by the doctrine of the serpent. Okay, hallelujah. So this is Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 5. There are three things he said to Eve. If you eat of the fruit, your eyes will open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I told you, everything in the world that leads and creates other gods is based on this doctrine of serpent, on these three things. Are we understanding? Let's go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Most of you will not go and worship an idol. But most of you can be deceived with a subtle doctrine that goes on the church, especially the Western church. And then it went into Africa and so on and so forth. Many Indian preachers and mega church pastors preach the same. And the doctrine they preach is, you are a God or you are a little God. So let's go into that. Did God say that you are God to someone? Yes, he said it. But let's see why he said it. Exodus chapter number 7. Exodus chapter number 7. Verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Underline that. See what? I have made you as God to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you. Listen to me now. There is a meaning to it. If Moses is God, he is still supposed to listen to the command of the Lord God Almighty. He says, you will be as God to Pharaoh, only to Pharaoh, not to anyone else. Why? Because Pharaoh is another God. And Pharaoh is so reluctant to consider himself as the only most powerful God on the face of the earth. All right. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Stay with me. So he said, you will be as God to Pharaoh, and Moses, your brother, Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet who will speak. You shall speak all that I command you. If Moses has become God now, but he still has to listen to God Almighty. You shall listen to all that I speak, command you. And Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. Now, pastors can use this verse out of context. There are some things that I want to point it out simply to you. There is a context to why God made Moses like a god to Pharaoh, because God wanted to break the pride of Pharaoh to believe that he is God. Pharaoh is a god. Pharaoh considered himself as a god, Ra of Egypt. That's why they don't destroy the bodies of pharaohs who die. They keep the bodies. You can look up in when did COVID come? 2020 it came. I think 2021 or 2022. You can look up on the internet on so-called Easter Sunday. You know, I already exposed Easter. What they did is they brought, I don't remember, around 21 bodies or something, 22 or something, dead bodies of the pharaohs. There were queens and 3 or 4 queens and 18 kings, that are 18 pharaohs, male pharaohs. The dead bodies, they brought out to some place in Egypt. And there was billions of dollars spent into that ceremony. Billions of dollars. You know when that happened? It happened on an Easter Sunday. Why? Why it happened on an Easter Sunday? You need to understand what they are trying to do. They are trying to show yourself that there are other gods as powerful as Jehovah God. They are creating other gods, and Pharaoh is a god. And that's why they don't destroy the body of a Pharaoh. They bury the body in the coffin, in the mummy box, or whatever you know. Have you seen the movie Mummy? I saw that movie. I forgot about it when I was 8 years or 9 years old. I saw that movie. I still remember some glimpse. That dead body comes back to life after the woman finds something and enchants and releases a spell. That dead body comes back to life. Along with that dead body, only the dead body does not comes back to life. There are some mammoths and those insects that come with the dead body that kill people. That is not resurrection, what they call resurrection. Resurrection can be defined when a person rises to life with a glorious body. But what these people call resurrection is, even when you see the movies where the dead come up, you see how ugly they are with all the black things. Oh my God, who would like that kind of resurrection? That is not even resurrection. There is only one resurrection that happened on the face of the earth. That is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who rose again, never to die again, who rose in his glorious body.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are we understanding? The resurrection, I think I spoke about the resurrection of Tammuz and all those stuff. They did not resurrect with glorious body. There were demonic beings, black in color and all spoiled by Hades insects, all holes in their bodies. That is how they rose up. That is not even resurrection. Yuck. Ugly people. Ugly people rose up like that. Those are mummies. They brought the mummy. So they want to compete with God. But no one can raise up a dead other than the power of God, other than the Spirit of God. No one can do that.
Yes.
No one can do that. But they want to do that. So I want to tell you that Pharaoh is proud. Pharaoh considers himself as God. And he is so reluctant to not to believe in an unseen God. So God wants to manifest himself in a man and show that man to Pharaoh, see, this is me. This is how I will destroy you. And he made Moses as a god to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh looks at Moses, and the sorcerers of Pharaoh look at Moses, and the magicians and the serpent worshippers look at Moses and they say, this guy, who is he? He looks like a man, but the powers he carry are the powers of God that we cannot resist. He made Moses a god to Pharaoh. Do you understand the purpose? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God wants to manifest his power and his power, his glory, his mighty right hand, he will use a man to manifest it. He will make a man, a God to that certain person, to that certain demonic system who consider themselves as God. Okay, the important thing to note about is, the important thing, make a note about this verse. Moses never used this word of God to make people worship himself. Okay, am I right? Did Moses use this word to say, oh, people of Israel, brethren, God said, I am a God, so worship me. He never used that word to bring worship to himself. That word was only in context and in the circle of assignment to fight with Pharaoh, not outside of it. Do you see that? So, you cannot say that God said, Moses is a God, so you are God. No, you cannot say that. We cannot use that doctrine. It was in context to Pharaoh. It cannot be used outside of the circle of the authority of the word of God, for which the word of God was given, that Moses, you will be as God to who? Pharaoh, not to the children of Israel. So no man or a servant of God can be your God other than God himself. Do we understand that? But a wolf in the clothing of a sheep, he will use this verse and tell you Moses was regarded as God. I am a God. I am a God. I am like God. I am in his image. And he will twist the word very subtly that you will be, you will say, no, brother, he is using scripture. You know, his speech, he twisted the scripture in a subtle way to make himself a God. To make himself a God. So I am teaching you the doctrine exposing that you are not a little God. You are just a man. Hallelujah. So do we understand now that scripture? Moses never used the word to bring worship to himself. He only used that word and authority in context when he went to Pharaoh and to fight with Pharaoh, because that is the circle of authority where God released his word for. Hallelujah. When you will start to grow in the Lord, when you will start to mature in the Lord, you will understand that when God gives you a revelation, when God gives you an instruction, when God gives you a certain anointing, it is being encircled in the area of authority. Like when you read about Jesus, Jesus was not going everywhere and healing everyone. He went to the pool, he healed only one man and slipped out of that place. So when God, he was hearing God, and what God spoke to him was inside a circle of authority where he has to use. When Herod said, oh, Jesus, come on, perform some miracles for me, Jesus did not say anything because he had the anointing. He had the miracle working power by God. He had the healing, but he was not allowed to use that anointing. He was not supposed to use that revelation in the circle, in the place where Herod was asking him to do things. Do we understand? Jesus said, if I pray, God will send legions of angels to my rescue, but I will not pray that because I want to fulfill the word of God. When you become a mature Christian, you will realize that. Hallelujah. We were on a mission trip, and I was traveling to the north of India, and I was traveling with a very elderly auntie, very, very elderly lady. And she had a daughter, and the daughter had some mental problems, but she believed in Jesus. And wherever she went, let's give gospel. Let's speak about Jesus. Let's speak about Jesus. Let's speak about Jesus to him, to her, everywhere. And then the mommy shouted at the daughter, and she said, you know what? You need to have wisdom from God. You cannot speak about Jesus to each and every one. But only when the Lord tells you to do it and where he wants to tell you to do it. So she was so right when she corrected her daughter. Then she kept quiet. So that is how some of the word that God gives you, you need to have the maturity. And if you don't have the maturity, God would not even speak to you. If I am not mature, God will not make me a God to the enemy, Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh will fear me. Because if he speaks to me in my immaturity, I will take that revelation and make myself God to the congregation and tell, oh, you know what? God came to me and said, I am a God. So you need to, do you understand that what I'm speaking? So revelation cannot be given to babies. You need to be matured enough to handle revelation, or that revelation will make you the agent of Satan. Hallelujah. Why Lucifer was a man of revelation, because he was so close to God. He was the covering cherub. He was the one who was having instruments on his body here and there. He was the one who was supposed to lead worship. He was multitasking. So he knew a lot about the presence of God. He knew a lot. He had a lot of revelation. And he was most beautiful than any other angel that existed. And he was perfect in beauty. Can you imagine perfect, no blemish? That is how he was. But he used it to his own gain, all those power. Okay, any which ways. So that is one of the word that people can use and pastors can use to tell you that you are a God. Some other word. So the next point I want to make is bowing down. Listen to me. Bowing down or worshiping a man or an angel is a sin against the Lord. Bowing down or worshiping a man or an angel is a sin against the Lord. Okay? Hallelujah. So many churches right here in India where when the man of God comes, these people come and immediately they come and bow down. No. Don't give such a kind. And the man of God has no problem whatsoever when they come and come and kneel down, come and bow down. And it does not happen occasionally. It happens every service that they do. Every service that they do. These people got so much power from God, and now they are using the power to bring worship to themselves. But the Bible is so clear that bowing down or worshiping, bowing down is worshiping a man or an angel is a sin against the Lord. Let's look at Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. And verse number 25 to 27. Acts 10, verse number 25 to 27. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Hallelujah. So those pastors who are defining and saying, "Oh, bowing down is just to respect. Why are you saying like that? We can respect a man of God by bowing down." Well, if that is a doctrine, why did Peter did not allow that to happen with himself? Apostle Peter himself, when Cornelius came to bow down to Peter, Peter said, "Don't bow down before me. I am a man. You do it with only God and not a man. I am a man like you." There are apostles who title themselves apostles, and they bring out the doctrine which says it is the apostles' doctrine that says that you are a little God. I am asking those people, if you are saying that you are a little God and you are God, why did Peter said, "I am just a man, don't worship me"? Why did Peter say that in the Bible? Because it's not from God. Bowing down or worshiping a man is not from God. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? When you go to certain conferences and you go there, I am fed up of my ministry, I want to receive some anointing, I want to tap into the anointing of the man of God, and you are pressurized so much when you go near the pulpit to bow down to the man, because everyone is bowing down. The one who bows down gets hold of the anointing of the man and rolls on the floor. So you are so pressurized to go there, and you have to bow down. When you bow down, you get certain kinds of energy. You are not getting the energy from the Holy Spirit or the anointing. You are getting a manipulated anointing.
Yes.
Are we understanding? Don't bow down, whoever he is. Why are you? Peter said, "Why do you bow down before me?" Peter, the apostle, Peter, the one whom Jesus promised that he will be the foundation layer of the church. He is building. He said, "Don't bow down." Then who are you? Are you greater than these apostles? who said that we are men, you are not supposed to bow down before us. What did I say? I said that the devil is in the business of making many gods to confuse even Christianity and forget about the true God. Forget about, oh, and you know what? After you bow down to the man, you will start getting dreams where the man comes and gives you gifts there. And then you testify, oh, man of God came in my dream and he did this. Man of God came in my dream. You know why that is happening? Because he has become your God. He has become your God. Do not bow down to any image. Do not bow down to a man. Do not bow down to a man. It's restricted. That's why I am against the Papa doctrines. Oh, my papa. Evaluate how many times you are saying to that man, my papa, and how many times you are saying to Father God that you are my father. You will see 0% you said to God that you are my father, and you 100% you are saying to that man, you are my papa, because the devil is confusing you. The devil is confusing you. He is making a man God, or he would make you a... Okay, let's go to Revelation. I want to show you more scriptures. Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Underline that. I want to explain that verse to you. I, John, saw and heard these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. You know what does that mean? That a man can even sin when he is high in the realms of God. He was high in the realms of God, looking at revelations. He was in the realm of deep revelations. And even there, he sinned. Even there, he sinned. What happened? He started to worship an angel who was showing him the revelation. That is one of the answers where people ask the question, if Lucifer was in heaven, and if there is no sin in heaven, how did he sin? I can go into that, but it will take a lot of time. But I am telling you, you can sin even when you are high in the realms of God. Listen to me. That's why, while you are on earth, through trials, sufferings, persecutions, training, and everything, you are trained so much that when you are eligible to stay in heaven. You are so matured to stay in heaven. Are we understanding? Yes, I know. I'm talking about another aspect. It is only Jesus and the blood of Jesus. But God trains you so much on earth. He refines you. He purifies you. And you long to become like Jesus. And the Bible says, when you see him, you will become like him. All those who had this hope and who were purifying themselves, they become. So your thinking will be wise and so matured when you make it to heaven. Now, when you are receiving this revelation, will you sin by bowing down to an angel? No. So when you get into the realms of God, even if the angel is showing you fantastic stuff, you will remember that I should not bow down. This is the doctrine. So are we understanding? That's why it says he is looking for a bride without blemish, who he will take to heaven. The standards of heaven has to be matched on earth while you are living on earth. Brother Rahul, what you are saying? No, you have to walk as Jesus walked. Because it is possible. It is possible. That's why the Bible says it so clearly. It says, when you read Revelation, it says so clearly that there will be no... Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. They will not be allowed in heaven. So if I have sinned in my life, even though I believe in Jesus, I cannot be allowed to heaven, because it says, Revelation chapter number 21 verse 27, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So nothing shall enter heaven which has possible chances to defile or to cause an abomination to have in heaven. So God will mature the bride of Christ, which will go with him so much that they will hate sin. Are we understanding? It says John, he was in the realm of God and he worshipped the angel falling down at his feet. Verse number nine. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. Angel is speaking now. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. An angel himself is saying, don't worship me. John, you should not do it. Worship God. You see that? Now, why was John starting to worship the angel? Because angel had so much of revelation, of wisdom, that he showed John, that the angel started to look like a god to John, and the tendency he had is to worship the angel. Too much power. Listen to me, when God gives you immense revelation and his power manifests in you, people will be attracted to worship you rather than God. When God gives you immense revelation and his power manifests in you, people will be attracted to worship you. People will be attracted to worship you rather than God. Remember when Paul and Barnabas went to that place and they healed a person? I think he was paralyzed. They started to lift up Paul and Barnabas and said, this is Zeus and this is what some God. Let's worship, because they saw the power that they never saw in their life. And there is a human tendency that they start to worship. Are we understanding that? So the human tendency is, how much of a mature Christian you are, if you tomorrow see a servant of God parting the Red Sea, you can tend to worship that man of God, saying, oh, this is Moses who is back on this earth. What a man of God he is. And then after the miracle, you will start to believe so much in the man of God that if the man of God says, come and bow down before me and then I will pray for you, you will start to do that, because you have seen a power in him. But worship God and not man, because Amen. The devil wants to make gods. When you worship anything or anyone rather than God himself, that goes to the devil and not to God. When you hold and appreciate pagan ways of worship other than God, you are uttering praise to Satan. Be very careful. Be very careful. I know you can compare things and see, oh, if they are doing, why can't we do the Satan worshippers fast day and night? They are awake. Oh, they are doing. They are so wonderful. When you say that, be very careful, because when you are praising the ways of Eastern gods and of Satan and saying, oh, you see the Muslims, they fast 40 days and this and that. Be very careful when you say that, because when you utter praise about their ways, about their God, you are praising Satan from your own mouth. You have to acknowledge only the ways of God. That's why the Bible says that don't even take the names of other gods from your mouth. God is a jealous God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that? Anything you worship, you might, oh, I just bow down to respect the man of God. You just gave your worship to Satan. You just gave your worship to Satan. That is what Satan wants. Anything you worship, it's a man of God. It may be an object. It may be a cross. It may be a statue. It may be a statue of baby Jesus. It may be, it is a statue of the cross. Whatsoever, if you bow down and worship them, you are worshiping Satan and giving your worship to Satan. That is what Satan wants. Satan wants even to confuse Christianity, so that the worship that goes to God, he receives it. Satan can even make, that is what he does with people who sell their souls to Satan. He makes them so famous that people start to worship those guys, worship those women. makes them so famous, gives them so much of talent that people start to, and when they worship that person, the worship goes to Satan. Anything that you worship other things apart from God himself, it will go to Satan. Remember that. And that is what Satan wants. We will not bow to the gods of men. We will not bow to the gods of men. We'll worship the God of Israel. You know that song? We will not bow to the gods of men. We will not bow to the gods of the world. But we will only worship the God of Israel. You know, when, hallelujah, people of God, are you there? Or did you, hallelujah, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to amen. Me. Why does he want you to bow down before a man? Why does he want you to bow down before an idol? Because when you do so, you are playing a part to fulfill his rituals, to fulfill his satanic ceremonies. Remember Daniel chapter number three or four, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how curious Nebuchadnezzar was that everyone should bow down to the idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, we will not bow down. We will not bow down. When they did that, his satanic ceremony was not getting completed. That's why he was so enraged. Satan wants to complete some ceremonies and rituals to reverse the promises of God, to reverse the word of God, to reverse and manipulate the plan of God. And for doing so, he wants Christians to bow down to something that is not God. And God said to Elijah, there are still 7,000 I have reserved for myself who have not bowed down to Baal. Do you understand that? Christians, people of God, you have to be careful nowadays. Because Satan is in the business of making you bow down to something that is not a God. That is not the real God. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to take you to the basics. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Verse number 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. That is the word so clear, that I am the only God. Never worship any craven image, anything of the likeness of in heaven above, in earth beneath, under the water, under the earth. Never bow down to them. When you bow down, I saw this prophet as soon as he enters the church. The people are lined up and they start to bow down. And when Christians are saying, why are you bowing? We are giving respect. This man is a great man of God. He even went to the prison to suffer for the Lord. I'm telling you, the sorcerers are doing big time acting. Someone brought up, something about Bishop Mari, who is viral on the internet and so on and so forth. He was attacked. And now after the attack, he's wearing, that covering on one eye. He's showing one eye. And then so many of the Christians believe in him, praise him. How can you believe in him when he preaches with the sun cross, which is not even the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the cross of Tammuz in his hand? And all the ancestral deities of the Catholics, the pictures and the images behind his pulpit. But the words he is speaking are the words of a true apostle, of a true prophet. The words he is speaking, he is acting so that he can start receiving. These are actors on the stage. You need to look for the red flags. I'm not telling to criticize, but it's for the salvation of your soul that I don't want you to bow down to something that is not God. And when he wins your heart, when he controls your mind and wins your heart, he knows anything that he will crap, he will start to speak to you, you will start to do it. And all those stuff. That is how the Antichrist spirit will start to manifest. First of all, they will be good, they will win your heart, and then they will introduce you to the real ways of Satan and tie your soul up with their altars. Any which ways. This is what the one of the commandments of God was. Okay, the next topic is the words that is used by many preachers. And they say Jesus said it. Let's go to that. John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. And verse number 31 to 39. John 10, verse number 31 to 39. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus is not committing blasphemy because he is God. He is the Son of God. Okay? But Jesus is now addressing to a very, very spiritually lame and blind people. He says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Now you have to understand that Jesus is doing a ministry called apologetics. Jesus is into apologetics. What is apologetics? Apologetics is where you prove that Jesus is the Lord. You prove the doctrine of the Bible to sects and to religions which believe in other gods and who abide by the text of their own religion. That is apologetics. So Jesus was doing apologetics to a certain sect of people whom you know are the Jewish people. And the text that they stick to is their Torah, is their law. Do we understand that?
Mm-hmm.
If you will see, now, if Jesus has to speak, if Jesus has to speak to believers, he will not speak like this. Because with believers, what he is doing is teaching as not and not apologetics. Because they already believed in the Lord, Jesus has to teach them in order for them to grow in the word of the Lord. But to people who are spiritually blind and close to God completely, and all they know is my religious book is true, Jesus is doing apologetics by proving himself and what he says from their text. That is apologetics. Do we understand that? So he is not teaching at a level where believers could be addressed. He is coming down to a level that at least they believe in the works and that they will believe and they will be saved. He is coming down to that level. That is the apologetics. If I teach to Muslims, I cannot use the Bible because they say we believe in Quran. So there are apologetics and there are servants of God who are called to minister to Muslims. So they know the Quran and they pick up from the Quran the errors and where Jesus is been addressed as a Son of God. Like even in Hinduism, the original script is in Sanskrit. And there are so many words in Sanskrit where it says there will be a wounded one. There will be one who will take the sin in Hindu scripts. So when you are speaking to those people, you use their script to tell them about Jesus. Do we understand that? Like, remember when Paul was preaching to the Athens people He used that script. He said, it is written even in your books that he will, something about offspring. Do we understand that? Okay. So we have to understand the platform where Jesus is preaching. We have to understand that platform. And Jesus is preaching and teaching to these people who are Jewish people who stick to that text. And he uses a text to tell them and to explain them that in your Torah, in your law, the expression of you are gods and sons of God is mentioned. Then when it is written in your Torah, why do you accuse me when I speak to you that I am the son of God? Do not believe your own text then. Do you understand that? He is not telling literally that we are little gods. Hallelujah. By the way, this text that he is using is from Psalm chapter number 82, verse number 6. Psalm chapter number 82, verse number 6. After this point, we will pray. We are going to pray. Psalm 82, verse number 6. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. You see the context the Bible talks about? It is talking about princes. It is talking about fallen angels, because the expression you sons of God is even in Genesis chapter number 6. The expression that uses sons of God is also in Job chapter number 1, where the sons of God are addressed as the angels of God. That is the expression. They are begotten by God. They came from God, or they are created by God. That's why they are called sons. Okay? Do we understand that? So that does not mean that you are little gods. There is only one God, that is Jehovah God, who is worthy of all praise, honor, and worship. So these are the things where they can entice you and teach you the doctrine, where they will tell you, you are little gods, but say, I am not a little god. Another doctrine is that they will say, oh, you are a spirit, you are not a man. You are a human being because you have flesh. That is not a true doctrine. You are not a spirit. The spirit is encapsulated in the body of the human being. Are we understanding that? Okay, let's look at some verses, because I want that this group will have the right understanding about God, that there is only one God, and you shall never bow down to any other God. Our God is higher than any other God on the face of the earth. And I'm telling you, these times and season, the devil is in the business of making other gods. Mm-hmm. Your ministry is not growing. Wait on the Lord. Don't bow down to a man to receive his anointing. Wait upon God, people of God. I'm telling you. You will, your ministry, some ministers of the gospel are so fed up. It's been 10 years, the ministry is not growing in numbers and this and that. And they search on the internet and they pick out sermons where the preacher is a mega church and an international preacher. And he will say, I went to this man, I went to this conference, I received the anointing. From the time I made this person my spiritual father, my ministry started to grow. Stop that nonsense. It's a chain of God's worship, of making of gods, that the devil is creating in Christianity. Wait on the Lord. He is the only God. The help of man is useless. Only God can help you, beloved. That is what the Bible says in Psalm 107, that the help of man is useless. He is just a man. They are just men. Only God can help you. Hallelujah. Let's read some verses.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Psalm 95, verse number 3. We'll read some verses and pray and give glory that is due unto him. Anyone who has bowed down to any image, bowed down to a man, tonight is the time to repent and tell God, I'm no longer giving my worship to any other thing, object, or human being other than you, oh my God. Hallelujah. Psalm 95, verse number 3. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Hallelujah. First Chronicles, chapter number 16, verse number 25. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Above all gods. Hallelujah. Fear the Lord above all or everything that is called God on the face of the earth. Psalm chapter number 97. Psalm chapter number 97, verse number 9. Verse number 9. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Hallelujah. He is above all gods. Isaiah 45, verse number 5. Isaiah 45, verse number 5. I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. Hallelujah. There is no God beside me. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus 20 we already read. Exodus chapter number 3. Verse number 14 and 15. Exodus chapter number 3. Verse number 14 and 15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. If he is the God of Abraham, how can Abraham be a God? If he is the God of Abraham, hallelujah. We are not gods. I break that doctrine that we are not gods, that deceptive doctrine. And Lord, only you are God. It says God is God by himself. And then if he wants to explain himself, he will relate himself to people who serve him faithfully. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. And he can be called the God of Portia, the God of John Paul, the God of K. Hallelujah. If you worship him, if you worship him. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God. I remove your mute. It's a time to pray. And it's time to give him the worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Revelation, Revelation 1. He is God, he is God. Revelation chapter number 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Rabo Sebre, and yes, we will pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Ala brosa kata raba. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. There is God, no other than you, Lord. You are the only God, high and exalted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are above all. You are above all, Jesus. You are above all, Jesus. You are above all, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Now, unto your God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what's your worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Hallelujah. Though he's above all, the Bible says he came down. Hallelujah. And took the place in the manger as a man. Why? Why he left his throne and came down to take your sins upon himself and to save your life. Oh, hallelujah. Who can be a God like him who will die for his people and save his people? Who can be like him? Who can be loving like him? No one can, beloved. Though he was God, exalted above every other God, he came down and he became sin for us when he knew no sin, and he was, oh, pure and holy. Hallelujah, blameless Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who can be, tell me, who can be like him? There is no God who can compare to him. There is no God who will be more loving. Oh, hallelujah, than him, full of wisdom and glory and love. There can no one, oh, take your place in my life, my Jesus. No one can take your place in my life, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Who is like you, Lord? No one, Lord. No one, Lord. Hallelujah. You are exalted above all gods. Oh, you are the only God. Oh, hallelujah. And there is no one that can even match you, Lord. We want to give you the praise. Oh, Lord, we want to ruin what the devil wants to do by giving worship to you tonight, by bringing worship to you and to you alone. We don't bring worship to you through a deity or through an image or through any religion. We want to bring worship to you directly because Jesus has opened the way to worship you directly. Oh, Lord, I break the doctrine of the serpent, Lord, of creation of other gods that is confusing not only unbelievers, but believers, Lord, isolating believers from the knowledge of one and true God, Lord. But tonight we bring worship to you. Tonight we bring that incense to you, that aroma. Rise unto you, Lord, and please you, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every idolatry will be broken in the lives of people. Every idolatry. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, deliver them from every curse. Every curse that came by idolatry. Every curse that entered their life because they bowed down, Lord, to something else, which is not you, Lord. Lord, not only physically bowing down, but also compromising. Oh, Lord, Lord, tonight, even as your people listen and they receive and repent, Lord, Lord, break those curses from their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Rababo Shebriata Barandorobo. Rabala Halsianta Rabala Bolsianta Rabala. Lahal Sianta Rabala Bosianta Rabala Kozubadarabo. Lahal Siandro Bolo Holseketo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us sing this one song that is putting in my heart. Let's sing one of the song that is putting in my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship. We will not bow down to the gods of men. We will worship the God of Israel. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. Come on, lift up your hands and worship him. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands in worship, and we will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. For you are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether you will serve Baal or whether you will serve God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will serve you, Lord. We will not bow to the gods of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Choose this day, says the Spirit of the Lord. Whom will you serve? Choose this day. Whom will you serve? If you want to serve God, repent and completely detach from idols and from Baal and from everything that is not of God, and bow down and surrender your life to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Lay your life at his feet and worship him. He deserves all of you. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time, and I cover all the people, Lord, with the blood of Jesus Christ, that they will worship you and no other God. I ask you tonight. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, people of God, give a shout of amen. Hallelujah. to the law.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.